This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 12th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 3. Isaiah 12, 1 through 3. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Jesus said that in the last days, men's hearts would be failing them for fear of the things that are coming to pass upon the earth. We are living in those days of which Jesus spake. And there are fearful things that are happening upon the earth. It is fearful when you consider the tremendous increase in violent crimes. Every month it seems that the scientists find some new carcinogenic agent which eliminates another food or pleasure from our lives. Everything, it seems, is dangerous. If you drink your soda pop with sugar, then you're apt to get overweight and have a heart attack. If you drink the dietetic pop, then you have your carcinogenic saccharin, and you might get cancer and die. So, you know, you're just between a rock and a hard place. So many things to strike fear in our hearts in this day in which we live. And there are people who are plagued by fears. The psychologists have sought to classify many of these different fears: the claustrophobia, the acrophobia, the hydrophobia, the phobophobia. Phobophobia is a fear of fear. There are a lot of people just frightened to death of being afraid. And people spend millions of dollars every year in order that they might talk to someone about their fears. Men's hearts failing them for fear. In some of the calamities and tragedies that we have read of late, it's amazing how that many times the person actually survives the catastrophe only to die of a heart attack. You read the number of people in Italy in that last earthquake that died. A great percentage of them died not from the falling bricks, but died from the resultant heart attacks for the fear as everything was shaking. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Fear has a destructive power. It's a destructive force. It can destroy our abilities to cope with life and the circumstances of life. Isaiah said, I will trust and not be afraid. Who is the man who will say, I will not be afraid? As we go back to verse 1, we find that he is the man who is praising the Lord. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. As you are praising the Lord, as you are thanking him for the greatness of his being, as you are giving praise unto him for his marvelous power and wisdom, as you are thanking Him for His love and His concern for you, it's awfully hard to be frightened about anything. Because after all, I am praising the one who loves me, who is watching over me, who cares for me. And as I am praising Him, the fears seem to vanish. For as I praise God, I really begin to put things in proper perspective, my problems, my life situations. As I get my mind upon the Lord, then the issues of my life take their true perspective. They're not as big as I thought. They're not as awesome as I thought. They're not as inconquerable as I thought when my eyes are upon the Lord and I am praising Him. It's important that we keep our eyes upon the Lord. Too many times we're getting all involved in our problem. We're looking at the situation and we begin to fear and to sink. You remember when Peter was with the disciples in the little ship out on the Sea of Galilee, and there was a tremendous storm, and they saw Jesus walking towards them on the water, and they thought maybe it was a ghost. But Jesus said, "Hey, don't be afraid, it's only me." And Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, ask me to come out to you." The Lord said, "Come on." And so Peter stepped out and started to walk on the water towards the Lord, and then in his peripheral vision, he saw a white cap, a wave starting to break. And he started going down. He said, "Lord, save me." Fear gripped his heart. He was doing all right as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord. The minute he started to look at his circumstances, man, he started to sink. And that is so true with us. Keep your eyes on the Lord. We do all right. We maintain. We're able to go. But so often, we get our eyes off of Him and onto the circumstances around us, and we start to sink. The Lord said, "Oh, Peter, where's your faith? I will trust and not be afraid." The man who praises the Lord is the man who can say that. The man who has found God's comfort is the man that can say that. The end of verse 1, "And thou hast comforted me." The man who has experienced God's work within his life, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was talking to his disciples about what to them was pretty frightening things. "They're going to come, they're going to arrest me, and I'm going to be crucified. Now don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, now believe in me. I'm just going to go ahead and prepare a place for you, but don't worry, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And he was talking to them about these things, and he said, "Now, I am not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you. And I'm going to pray to the Father, and He's going to give you another comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it knoweth Him not." The word comforter there in the Greek is parakletos, which means one who comes alongside of you to help you. Now, we usually experience our greatest fears when we're alone. When we are alone and we're faced with a tragedy or we're faced with a danger, we usually experience the greatest fears. If someone is alongside of us, then we usually don't experience the same degree of fear, especially if that person is big and burly and strong. I'm not afraid of that fellow walking up the sidewalk towards me, because I have these big, burly guys with me, you see. And so I'm not afraid now. But it's usually when I'm alone that I experience the fears. The Lord said He was going to pray the Father to send someone else to come alongside of us to help us. And when that one who is beside me is the Lord, and I know that he's come along to help me. As David said, I will not fear even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Why? He's right here beside me to help me, the comforter, one who has come alongside to help. And so that man who has experienced the presence of God in his life, that man who has the consciousness of the presence of God, is the man who will say and can say, I will trust and not be afraid. He also is the man who has experienced God's salvation. Behold, verse 2, the beginning, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I'm not fearful concerning the future, whether or not God is going to accept me, because he is my salvation. My salvation does not depend upon me. My hanging in, or my obedience, or my works, or my efforts. My salvation is depending upon God doing his work. You see, God wouldn't leave my salvation in something as tenuous as my own efforts. It's too important for that. When things are really important, God takes them into his hands. He leaves some of the minor details for me. But the really important issues, like my salvation, he takes the responsibility for it. God is my salvation. And knowing that God has undertaken to bring me into his eternal kingdom, I will not fear. I'm going to trust him that he can do the work of my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Now, many people have twisted this text, and they have said, I will not trust, and I will not be afraid. I have talked to people, and especially elderly people, up in their 80s, and I have visited with them as they were lying there in a bed of affliction between life and death. And I've talked to them about their need of opening their heart to Jesus Christ and surrendering their life to the Lord. And I've had them tell me, I lived my life as I wanted, and I am now ready to face the consequences. I will not trust, and I'm not afraid. Oh, what a fearful state that is. When a person has come to that place in life where their heart is so hardened to God and to the things of God, that they say, I'm ready to face him. I'm not afraid. I know that their eyes have been blinded by the enemy. I know that Satan has deceived them with his lies. That somehow they feel that they can stand before God, and because they have done their best, or because they've tried to live a good life, or because they've given to the poor, or because they haven't stolen or whatever, that God is going to accept them as they are, and I've lived my life and I'm ready to face the judgment, I'm ready to face the consequences. And Satan has lied to them and deceived them. They do not know the scripture that declares it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Oh, I cringe when a person says to me, I will not trust, I am not afraid. But then there are others who say, I will not trust, and I am afraid. they're so hard to deal with. They come and they speak of their fears, of the anxieties, of the worries and all. And you talk to them about the Lord, how that the Lord is able to help them if they'll just commit their life to Him, if they'll just turn it over to the Lord, it can all work out. Oh, no, I won't trust. I can't believe that. I won't trust the Lord. Oh, but I'm so afraid. Really, I have so little to say to those people. If you won't trust Him, then don't take up my time trying to alleviate your fears. I have only one answer for your fear. But you're like a person who is drowning, and I throw to you the only life preserver that's on board. But you refuse to grab it because it's the only one and you like a choice. Or you refuse to grab it because you're not really sure that it can save you. After all, it might sink too. Or you refuse to grab it because you don't believe that you're really drowning. Or maybe you refuse to grab it because it's painted yellow and that's not your favorite color. I think of the foolish excuses that people make for not trusting the Lord. They know that they're going down. Their life is filled with fear. They worry about everything. And yet they refuse to trust the Lord. And they, in essence, are saying, I will not trust, but I'm so afraid. So what can you say as you watch him go down? Poor fool. Nothing you can say. Then there are those that say, I will trust, and I am afraid. But immediately we see the inconsistency of that. For if you are truly trusting in God, then you won't be afraid. And your very fear indicates the lack of a total trust in Him. For fear and trust are mutually exclusive. If you're gripped with fear over the circumstances of your life, it is an indication that you have not yet committed that totally to the Lord. You are not yet fully trusting. Oh, how beautiful it is when a person can say, I will trust and not be afraid. What a glorious life we have in Jesus Christ. For I will not fear my past. There are some people who are haunted by their past. They can't get out of their mind the evil that they have done. It's like a specter that stands over them, a dark cloud that just seems to overshadow their lives, and they're constantly worried and fearful of the things that they've done in their past lives. I will not fear the past, for my past has been blotted out. The Bible tells me that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sins. And if I say I have no sin, that's just plain stupid. Oh, that's a free translation. I'm deceiving myself. The truth is not in me. But if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I have no fear of my past sins, my past evil. God has blotted it all out. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I do not fear my past failures. And many people are afraid to venture out into anything because they have a history of failure. Oh, I've tried before. Oh, I tried so hard. And I do not fear my past failures because I am no longer trusting in myself. I'm now trusting in the Lord. And if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature and the old things are passed away and everything becomes new. It's a whole new ball game. Whole new lineup with a whole new dynamic for life, the power of his Holy Spirit. And so as he declares here, he has become, he is my strength. And is become my salvation. I will not fear the present, for the Lord is in control of my life. There is not one thing that happens to me but what God does not allow it to happen. It cannot happen to me unless God allows it to happen. And if God allows anything to happen to me, he only allows it to happen for my good. He knows what's best for me. Now, I don't. And as things are happening, I sometimes feel this is no good. I don't like this. Sometimes the Lord takes me down a path that I don't want to go down. The freeway out here looks so fine. Why can't we travel the smooth, easy path of the freeway, Lord? Why do we have to take this windy, bumpy road? I don't like it. Well, the Lord knows that down the road a ways and beyond the bend, the freeway is coming to a bridge that is washed out. And so he takes me around. With all my griping and complaining until we get to the river and I look up and I see the freeway bridge is out and the car's plunging into the river. And I say, oh, right, thank you, Lord, this is fine, you know. Take the bumps. You're leading me around the pitfalls, the dangers that could destroy me. You see, God is in control of my life. Whatever happens to me, he has allowed it to happen for my good. For all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. I will not fear the future. For God is my salvation, and my future is bound up in his hand. He has committed himself to taking care of me. And so I do not fear of what might come in the future. Now, if you read the newspapers, there are some horrible things that could very well come in the near future. In the near future, we could be involved in a terrible war. Henry Kissinger said recently, war is inevitable. And that is being said by many of the leaders today. And there's all kinds of specters of war hanging over the world right now. Well, what are we going to do? Well, I'm going to trust and not be afraid. For God will keep me. And God will not allow anything to happen to me but what is for my best and for my good. And should I be in the epicenter of a nuclear holocaust, that's just a quick way of going to be with him. For as Job said, though this body is dissolved, destroyed, eaten by worms, I know that I'm going to see God. I'm not going to fear what catastrophe might befall Southern California. And the scientists are telling us that we are facing at any time a horrendous earthquake here in Southern California. Many people have moved from Southern California because of the warnings of the scientists of the San Andreas fault line. It's been a long time since we've had an adjustment. There's been this gradual slipping of the plates, and now there's going to be an adjustment soon, and this whole thing is just going to shake. Well, let it shake. I will trust and not be afraid. God will take care of me in the shaking. David, in the psalm that we read, said, "The Lord is my refuge and strength. I will not fear though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea." So we're standing here, we say, "Wow, there goes Mount Baldy. Whew. Look at that splash. San Antonio gone. Whoo. Here comes San Jacinto. Look at that splash, you know. I will not fear though the mountains be moved and cast into the midst of the sea." Why? Because God is my refuge, my strength. My future is bound up in Him. I will not fear though famine may come, as they are warning. We're reading an awful lot lately of the drought that's taking place in the Middle West of our country. The grain basket, the bread basket of our nation. Tremendous drought conditions. They're fearful of the corn and grain crops this year. But we no longer have big reserves. And already millions of people are starving in Ogaden and in Ethiopia and in the areas of Africa. What are we going to do? Well, I'm going to trust and not be afraid. For David said, "I have never seen the righteous forsaken or God's children begging bread." God will take care of me. God will take care of us. I will trust in Him. I'm not going to go down and buy a bunch of freeze-dried foods and get my wheat and all stored out there in my little hut in the middle of the wilderness, and then don't you dare come around or I'll blast you away, man, with my M16 because you're not going to get my food. Oh, what a syndrome of fear that is gripping people today. It's become a million-dollar business, multi-million-dollar business, capitalizing on the fear of people. I will trust. What a great alternative to fear. I will trust and not be afraid. I will not be afraid of an economic collapse of which we are being warned. Our money is just paper, artificial, nothing behind it. At one time, there was gold behind the paper, and then they substituted and there was silver behind the paper. Now they brought in all the silver certificates, and there is nothing behind the paper. It's just paper with printing on it. You see, the gold certificates, in essence, said, "The government owes you so much gold." The silver certificates, in essence, said, "The government owes you so much silver." The paper Federal Reserve currency that you have now in your pocket says, "The government owes you nothing." There's nothing behind it. So they say it's all an artificial value that has been put upon paper, but the value could collapse. The whole economy can collapse. Get out of money. Get into tangibles. Get into property. Get into gold. Get into silver. Get into platinum. And there are these very gracious, marvelous people that will be glad to take your worthless paper and give you gold instead. What are they going to do with your paper? Why are they so nice to me? Willing to take all this worthless paper that I'm carrying around in my pocket and give me gold bars. My, they're nice. I've never quite figured out why they were so nice to me. And there are people fraught with fear of a failing, collapsing economy that are just frantic. What shall I do? What can I do to protect it? I do not fear the future because I trust in the Lord. Now, when he said, I will trust, it shows that this is a matter of choice. I can choose to trust or I can choose not to trust. The exercise of my free choice. The wisest exercise of your free choice would be that to follow Isaiah and say, I will trust and not be afraid. For God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. I will trust and not fear. So we pray. Thank you, Father, for the confidence that we can have in you in a day of chaos. When men's hearts are failing them for fear of the things that are coming to pass upon the earth, that we can just cast ourselves upon thee, and that we can trust in you today and not be afraid. O Lord, teach us to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. The word anxious is don't be worried about anything. You worried today? The Lord doesn't want you to worry. He tells you, don't worry. Oh, but how can I help it? Well, he said, in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. God doesn't want you to be debilitated by fear. It is a tremendously debilitating force. God wants you to live a life of confidence and trust and faith in him. I will trust and not be afraid. If you have not that trust, if your life is beset by fears, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room where the pastors will be glad to pray with you and bring you into a relationship with God that will dispel the fear that you may have today. God bless you, and may the Lord be with you this week, and may you experience his power and his love within your life, and especially his presence in that hour of crisis and need. May you feel him standing with you. And thus be assured, the Lord is with me. He is my refuge, my strength. I shall not fear. I will trust and not be afraid. And thus may your trust in God increase as the days worsen about us. In Jesus' name.